Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
I'm good. I went home yesterday. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of stuff on at the moment.
Yes.
And
we're being invaded.
I was like, God, how do we stop getting invaded? And I'm struggling with that. And also how to help the SEO of the invasion. So I'm thinking. And then I'm like, it's the 12th, which means in a month and 2 days, I'm running a marathon.
Oh, yeah, you are.
And I haven't done any training for 3 weeks, and I just spent the entire weekend eating McDonald's and drinking Guinness.
And KFC.
And drinking KFC as well.
Yeah, the chicken gravy that you get.
So delicious. I panicked. I did what any sensible, rational person would do, and I panicked.
Did you go for your panic run?
I went for a panic run. I ran to work this morning.
I've never.
You weren't in the office when I got you. Were down here in the studio.
I was recording.
Yeah, I got in. I had my full 80s headband on.
Yeah.
And I didn't. I still haven't stopped sweating. I got Stitch. It was wind.
Oh, man, it is David Blowy out there today.
It was very windy.
It is Morgan windy.
It was not pleasant. It was 7.5 kilometres. I've got to do that how many more times? Five more times. I've got to do that 5 times.
Mate, WrestleTalk, get better. I thought it was going to be more like the last panic run you had when you got home and realized that you hadn't been for a run and you hadn't done any training. So you just literally that second went for a run.
Yeah, like put on some shorts and just ran.
Like in my head, you don't even change. Like no. You walk through the front door and you hit it and you go like, oh, and you just turn around and just start running.
Yeah, jump out the window. Forrest Gump,
exactly.
Keep on running. Yeah, so I'm kind of bricking it now.
Yeah.
Because the worst thing you can do, actually the worst thing you can do is overtrain. Like it's worse to overtrain than to not train, because if you don't train, at least you can walk it.
Yeah.
If you overtrain and you injure yourself, you can't. You're hobbling. Yeah. You're Becky Lynching that entire 42 kilometers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mate.
So I've got to try and temper the anxiety and fear by limiting the running. But I just want to run. I just want to run from my problems. And for my profits.
Well, there you are. That's a call out to the Swaff Nation. Email in your encouragement to Ollie Davis. Let's all WrestleTalk get better this together. And we'll send encouragement to Ollie to get him on his marathon, which we're all rooting for you, man.
The week after WrestleMania.
Yeah, the week
that's
after.
When it is.
Yeah, I mean, because that's not a busy time for us at all, mate.
Invasion, WrestleMania, having new people join the company.
Yep.
Upgrading the kit.
Yeah. Oh, do you know, I didn't mention this yesterday, but do you know what yesterday was of March 12th?
Was it your 2-year anniversary?
Very
coming up to it.
Very close. We are coming up to my 2-year anniversary. It's actually the 4-year anniversary of my very first video for WrestleTalk.
Because you used to do the little newses before I made it all better.
Before you made it better, we were doing it in front of that horrible background where you had to do everything in like in one take. You couldn't mess up a line.
There were no jump cuts.
No jump cuts.
That's
there.
Why the jump cuts are there, people.
Because we were quite bad at reading auto cues. You essentially had to like learn a script and then like play it back again.
Yeah. Less editing though.
Yeah. It was quite nice to go back and sort of see how far I've come, apart from one comment that was just like, man, you've not improved at all since you've come here.
And someone went back.
Yeah, there are a few people that have gone back and been like, oh, look, it's Luke's first video on the channel. And there was one comment that was just like, you've not improved whatsoever. Like, you're at the exact same level. And I was like, mate, if you cannot see the difference between that and what I'm doing now, I'm not saying like I'm good at it now, but I'm so much better than what I was and I did my first video.
I think he's just trying to rile you.
Well, it worked. We also had to put a call out. Well, at least Ewan put a call out for better names for the Discord server portion of the Swaff Nation. We got no emails in, but the Discord server put some suggestions in, which as the Spinal Cords, which was suggested by Dan.
That's rubbish, Dan. That's because Discord, Spinal. What does Spinal mean for us?
I don't know.
Like you're the backbone of WrestleTalk. It's too laboured. WrestleTalk Universe. I'm still pushing it.
Faker Tim suggested WrestleCordians.
It's better.
That's better. Yeah. I think that's the only suggestions that came in. I mean, as I said, no one emailed me. Or Discordians was another suggestion. Mm. But the Dan said that sounds a bit too much like the Kardashians.
Yeah, well. Apparently a former guest host of WrestleMania.
It did happen, apparently, but bugger if I can remember.
I had to, for one of the stories today in the news, Eminem might be signing with WWE to feature on SmackDown.
Yeah, because he's going to be doing 2K20, which I also think is going to have Metallica on it, which I'm much more interested in than Eminem, because I have not listened to an Eminem album since the Marshall Mathers LP, which was way back in the day.
His first one?
No, that was the Slim Shady LP was his first one, which is an awesome album.
It's so good.
And the Marshall Mathers LP is just as good.
I just remember all the parental advisory stickers and my mum looking at them going, no.
Oh,
you can't have that.
Man, as a metal kid in my teenage years, I was very much victim to the parents' advisory guidance, the stickers. I used to tear them off the CD cases. If they weren't, that's good. Tear them off the sticker cases, and then I used to put them on like my homework books and things like that because I was cool and edgy, obviously. But like my mum bought me the Limp Bizkit's Chocolate Starfish and the Hot Dog Flavored Water album, but she bought me the one without that sticker, so it was the censored one where all the swearing is taken out.
Oh, rubbish! They actually made it.
Wow. And it worked. It's a bad album anyway. Like, that is objectively a terrible album with, like, maybe one or two good songs
rolling,
on it.
Rolling
is, like, that is a 2.5-star song. Like, it is middle of the road, but quite catchy. But My Way, that's a banging track. That's brilliant. But yeah, so it made a very bad album worse.
I once listened to My Way for 3 hours making Lego when I was 14, which is too old to be for playing both. With Lego. So I had to go around Ben Samuels' house to listen to it.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh my God.
They're swearing.
But like at that age, because there was no internet and I didn't know what the hell was going on, I'd just be like, so he did kill someone? Yeah. Is he a murderer?
Yeah.
And Ben's like, yeah, I think he is.
80% fact, I think
he is. Oh, have you, speaking of that kind of innocent age, have you seen the trailer for Good Boys?
No.
Seth Rogen's, that troupe's new follow-up to Superbad.
Oh, no, I've Sausage not.
Party. It's about 3 10-to-11-year-olds just accidentally get in possession of some drugs, not taking it, but you know, police are after them and all these things happen.
Oh,
it looks funny. The trailer, because it's a Red Band trailer talking of censored stuff.
Yeah.
It opens with Seth Rogen sitting with the cast, one of whom's Jacob Tremblay, who's a great actor in The Room. And he's like, so you're in the movie, but you can't watch the trailer for the movie. And one of the kids is like, that's effing stupid. And he said, yeah, I know it's effing stupid. You can say effing in the movie that we all agreed that you could star in, but you can't watch yourself saying effing. That's illegal.
I love Seth Rogen so much. I think I talked about this I think I talked about this with you. The that movie that's on Netflix with Kristen Bell and Frasier, and then Seth Rogen just shows up, and I'm like, instantly, I'm so much more interested in this film because Seth Rogen's here now.
It's honestly like running into a friend.
Yeah, it really is.
Ah, it's my friend. It's Seth.
Yeah, there I would love to be friends with Seth Rogen.
You know what, mate? I think he would love to be friends with you.
No,
that's nothing special about you. Oh, I just think he wants to be friends with everyone.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, he is a nice guy. Right, before we get into the main show, let's have a quick Rusev hey. This comes in from Marcel. It says, hi, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, but not Randy Dad, or not Dandy Ranson, as he Radson, as he puts. Mm. Here is my second Rusev hey sent in from this weekend. More specifically, from WXW 16 Karat Gold Night 2. As I explained to you last year, 16 Karat Gold is a big three-day wrestling festival with not just those from the WXW main shows, but also a lot of other shows. Fans and wrestlers from all over Europe are there, and they even sold tickets to some fans from Japan. At Saturday, there's always the legendary after-show party. Why is it legendary? Three words. Karaoke, beer, and wrestling.
I was also doing karaoke and beer.
Yep.
In Hamburg.
In Germany.
On Saturday night. Not there.
I want to tell you about all the Rusev haze that happened to me there, since a lot of them were pretty interesting. First, me, the Swabian pasta guy, remember those crisps that we ate?
Mm-hmm.
Met Dan.
Yay!
Did you not see this picture they sent us on Twitter?
I mean, no, I didn't look at Twitter.
Well, you were away anyway, but they sent a picture saying, like, you know, these are two WrestleTalk fans that wouldn't have met had it not been for this show. And
that
was
great.
It really warmed my heart. It was really lovely. We met at the first date, and ever since I've had the feeling that we've bonded, and that's because of our mutual love for wrestling and WrestleTalk. Since Dan went to the shows on his own, I quickly integrated him with my crew. One of us.
Yay.
One of us. Which I love so much. That makes me so happy.
Dan's good at just making friends.
He's a lovely, lovely chap. And this Marcel, we've not met Marcel, but he emails in a lot and he gets in touch with him on Twitter. He sounds like such a good dude.
Dan is the loveliest guy, but he's not very good at coming up with names for Discord fan bases.
Why do you have to just put people down when you're like, you're like this with WrestleTalk Get Betters, where someone's like, I'm trying to do exercise, we're going for walks, and you go, and that's not exercise,
no,
though,
it
is it?
Well, you know, that's how I was brought up. You've got to make people humble.
You're the game, basically, aren't you? Not Triple H way, but the other game. You just like to neg people.
No, it's weird to be positive. Too positive. You've got to like cut it off.
No, being positive is a good thing.
Yeah.
Take it from me and Seth Rogen. After the party started, our crew was quickly joined by none other than Matthew of Botchamania, who we danced and sang along to Spice Girls, Backstreet Boys, and Rage Against the Machine. He was awesome. He also met Bobby Guns, who had just won the WXW Championship. He came into the club with his theme when his theme was playing, and he went crowd surfing through the party guests.
Amazing.
Who chanted along with the infamous chant. Axel Dieter Jr., aka yes. Marcel Bartel, was heavy flirting with the female member of our crew. It was quite obvious what he was trying to achieve there. He had strong aftershave.
Mm.
I like his hair.
No spray, no lay, as the man in the toilet tells me.
Yeah. Axel Tisha, who was Sanity's Alexander Wolf, was also there with Bartel, but he quickly wandered off as far as I could tell, maybe because he realized that his former ring camp mate was busy otherwise. I had the short opportunity to tell him that it was great seeing him wrestle, and he just said, yeah, it was great to wrestle again. Sick burn.
Oh.
News right there. Rico Bushido and Dirty Dragon had a dance break battle on the floor, and Bushido clearly won. Then Dragon tried to do a worm, but landed with his pants in a puddle of beer. When he realized he just wetted his pants, he went away, and he went all Ric Flair in the puddle and elbow dropped it. Bad Bones flirted with some girls. I'm not sure if they were old enough to drink, but he bought drinks for them.
Oh dear.
Oh dear. I'm sure I met Ray Phoenix, Ray Horison, Penta were there as well, but since they were all unmasked and undercover, there was no way to tell. Other guests I had a clear vision of were Ilya Dragunov, said it better this time, Pete Bouncer, Ivan Keeve, Damak, Aussie Open, Chris Brooks, and others. I love Aussie Open and Chris Brooks.
You're wearing a Chris Brooks t-shirt right now.
I am wearing my Chris Brooks t-shirts right now. And Dan and I sang Aerosmith, I Don't Want to Miss a Thing, which was a wonderful moment. They sent us a video clip.
Oh, really?
Well, of them, it was either that or it was them singing, and so Sally can wait, which was also just wonderful.
The great thing about that Oasis song is
that it's great.
My friend's mum is called Sally.
Yeah.
And there's also, of course, Ride Sally Ride.
Yeah.
These always come out
Mustang
at karaoke
Sally
time. Yeah. Oh, that's great. Aerosmith's I Don't Want to Miss a Thing. I'm going to put it out there if I haven't already. The greatest song ever written for a movie not to feature in the movie.
So it's in the film.
Is it?
Yeah.
No, I thought it was just over the credits.
No, it's in the film as well. When they're doing the animal cracker scene.
Okay, let me revise this statement. The greatest song ever written for a movie that's not a musical sequence.
Okay. I thought you were going to say not to star someone who was in the movie, because I was about to say Wild Wild West, Men in Black.
Those are not better than I Don't Want to Miss a
Men
Thing.
Men in Black by Will Smith is so much better than I Don't Want to Miss a
no,
Thing.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. It's undoubtedly better than I Don't Want to Miss a Thing.
Oh, it's a pod poll.
I smell a pod poll. He ends, I hope you enjoyed my Rusev. Hey, seriously, you have to come to 16 Carat next year. Matthew said if you just go to one show in all of Europe, UK included, it has to be this festival, and it would mean the world to me and Dan if you'd be there. Love you guys. Support Wrestle Talk. The Swabian pasta guy, Marcel Jura. P.S. Here is a Dropbox link to me and Dan singing, which maybe we'll play in the outro portion of this podcast, because we do need to get to the main show, talking about SmackDown Live and talking about what we're talking about. Kofi Kingston. Of course we are. Anyway, here's the show.
Let's talk about Kofi Kingston, because I, at Fastlane, I wasn't a fan of how they took his story. I felt it didn't really help anyone, and the momentum kind of stalled. And I think I still stand by that. I think you still could have had Kofi in a brawl. I think you could have done the Fastlane handicap, surprise handicap angle, where he had to take on the bar rather than being in the triple threat match for the WWE Championship, and still made it exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't have had the crowd chanting, "This is boring."
Yeah, because it did feel a bit TV, that angle. Didn't feel like it belonged on pay-per-view.
However, this follow-up has got me putting up my hands to Vince McMahon in particular, someone who has been the subject of much ire and criticism from us here over the last forever. And I've got to take my hat off to him. This was a masterfully worked segment. It was the main event segment, and before then there was a tag match where the New Day ran in and got their revenge, their receipt.
I loved that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Man, it was so good. Should we talk about that first?
Yeah, yeah. So it was Aleister Black and Ricochet and the Hardy Boys taking on Shinsuke Nakamura, Rusev, and The Bar.
League of Nations 2.0. So you and I have got the exact same note.
The baby faces and the heels there. And first of all, what an amazingly stacked SmackDown tag division.
Yep.
There's no Gallows and Anderson. AOP was the other tag team we forgot.
One of them's injured, so you can't really count them at the moment. I guess Drake's also not doing anything with them currently. He's playing with his Child's Play toys.
This was mostly just a shrink screen ad break. There was a few bits, and then it went into an ad break, and then it came back.
Very short.
And then everyone just started hitting finishers.
Yeah, it was that classic WWE thing of just like, we'll do some stuff, then everyone gets in, we'll all do finishers, and then New Day ran down for the DQ.
Yeah, it was really frantic. It was genuinely awesome to have like those eight guys out there and to tip it over the edge. Yeah, Big E, Kofi, and Xavier all run down and lay the heels out, because it was those heels, The Bar, Rusev, and Nakamura, who attacked them. Well, The Bar beat up Kofi in the handicap match, and Rusev and Nakamura stopped Big E and Xavier from saving him at Fastlane. So I just thought that like the New Day looked awesome here, and it immediately brought back all that momentum that I felt was a little bit lost.
This New Day rocks. Where it's just like they were super serious. There was no messing around. There was no like Big E doing his sort of like shucking and jiving and things like that. There was no throwing out pancakes. These guys, we're going down there and we're going to F some S up. And they went down there and they F'd up a lot of S. And they were just beating up all the heels. And Big E was my shining star of this segment. He was my personal standout, because I love super serious Big E. I love super serious Big E, where it's just like, oh, by the way, I'm super strong and I'm just going to run over you now. And you're in my way and I'm going to destroy you. I thought he was awesome.
Yeah, they all looked awesome.
So good.
And it was Kofi.
Stand him up so he could hit the Trouble in Paradise. Yeah. Oh, it was wicked.
And just there's something about Kofi's movement. It's something he does when he swings his arms to fire himself up, like he pounds his chest. And I see that happen. And I get excited.
Yeah, yeah.
He's very, very good.
Yeah. So, yeah, a great bit near the start of the show to sort of set up the main event segment, which was Kofi coming out, or the New Day, to face Vince McMahon in the ring.
Mm. Essentially cut him off because he was there sort of chatting away and then like showed the video package. And then New Day came out with their music, but again, super serious. There was no messing around here. They came down to the ring. And I loved the way that this was structured because it was Woods and Big E fighting the cause for Kofi, being like, here is why Kofi deserves this title shot. And then Vince would go like, well, you see, pal, you've got to earn title shots around here. And they were like, mate, he's earned it as well. He did this. And then Vince cuts this great, like, just bears like, I just don't think you're main event caliber. It's like, and you know, I was also having a chat with Daniel Bryan backstage. And you know what he said to me? He said, Vince, I think Kofi's great, but he's not much more than a B-plus player.
Hell of a line.
I mean, I almost feel like it would have been better if it came out of the mouth of Daniel Bryan rather than Vince saying it. But what a great line that was.
Yeah, just it ties into all of that stuff that Bryan himself had. It's great because it put over Kofi. Vince's delivery throughout this entire thing was great because he wasn't an all-out heel. He wasn't the evil Mr. McMahon, you're fired character. He was, hey, look, God, I like you.
He's
like
businessman
you.
Vince.
Yeah, I like you, but you're not on the level of everyone else. There was another great line, which I thought was the most cutting, because B-plus player, we there's the Bryan thing there. That the one was, you're a future Hall of Famer.
Loved this.
You're a future Hall of Famer, Kofi, which they say all the time.
Yeah.
But then he paused and he went, but not by yourself.
Yeah.
You're in there with the New Day.
And he's like, let's be honest with ourselves. Yeah. Like, really, it's just like, I mean, you know this as well as I do. You're only going in the Hall of Fame as New Day. You're not going in as a solo act. I thought it was a really cutting line of not just Vince saying, this is what I think, of Vince saying, like, I know you know this as well, even though Kofi himself doesn't know that. I thought it was wicked.
He also said, you need the New Day because these two young bucks can do all the work while you take the glory.
Mm.
But again, not like and that wasn't an overly evilly delivered line. It was just like he was stating facts.
Yeah.
Facts that we all very much disagree with.
But we're supposed to, because he is the heel and they're the baby faces. Exactly, so I thought this was a really, really well-structured segment.
The Young Bucks line, you know, Vince doesn't know who the Young Bucks are.
No.
But coming the same night as Randy Orton's Dixie Carter,
yeah,
Too Sweet.
I was going to say, but like, I mean, that's not a dig at the Young Bucks, because AJ does that every week.
WWE shoots on AEW. The war has begun.
Only they really.
My guess at this time is Luke going to talk about how he genuinely believes WWE are shooting on AEW.
Only I don't. Come on, man.
Where's your sense of sensationalism?
When you put that down as the title today, I genuinely had a belly laugh at it. Hey, I was like,
you got to throw stuff at the wall.
I was like, that is an Ollie Davis headline right there.
You had the structure, like you said, of Big E and Xavier sort of fight in their corner saying, we've been on every media appearance. We always turn up. We haven't threatened to leave.
Oh, that's a great line. We haven't threatened to leave. We've done everything that has been asked of us, and yet you still treat us like garbage.
Yeah, and that threatening to leave thing is technically within kayfabe because Dean Ambrose has been acknowledged to be leaving the company. So that wasn't too inside baseball for me. I thought that was a very well-worked line.
And it was the other line as well, talking about, he said, the only thing getting in the way is like, we're bigger than Vince McMahon's ego. And Vince just pauses and goes, well, there's nothing bigger than my ego.
Yeah, yeah. And that was just like Vince being humble. Vince was really good in this segment. And he is not often good these days.
Yeah.
It was nice to see him being good.
It's the best he's been probably since that Kevin Owens segment last year. Was that last year or was it the year before?
I think it was 2 years ago. Yeah.
Right, yeah, so it had been the year before.
I can't remember.
No, it would have been because it led to Hell in a Cell with Shane and Owens.
Which led into Daniel Bryan returning.
Yes, which led to their WrestleMania match.
So it was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, a lot of stuff happens these days in short periods of time.
Life comes at you fast.
Vince said, look, and then it goes to Vince, and Vince is sort of saying to these guys, you're not ready. If you were ready, it would have happened a long time ago.
Oh, that was great. Where it's like, if you deserved the title shot, it would have happened already.
And I'm thinking, God damn it, Randy Orton. This is your fault.
And then the crux to this is that Kofi then speaks up and he's like...
Oh, can I just add, sorry to cut you off. There's one more bit where I don't think it was intention like this. But Vince is saying, you know, you would have had a shot by now if you really did deserve it. B-plus player, future Hall of Famer, but only with the New Day. People like you.
Yeah, it's the Triple H when he was feuding with Booker T, where it's like, people like you don't win championships.
Yeah. So hopefully they do the right thing and have Kofi win now rather than what happened with Triple H and Booker T, where Triple H just beat him.
Oh, no. Well, he didn't just beat him. He pedigreed him and then went out to fight other people up the ramp and then came back and pinned Booker T without doing another move to him because the pedigree is a very devastating maneuver.
Yeah, not even social justice can overcome the pedigree. A few people have brought that up. I think it's quite a... There is subtext to it, but I don't think that's a... That means it shouldn't be said. I think it's quite a nice play on previous stuff.
I was going to say, I don't think this has ever been a race thing.
No.
In WWE's eyes. I don't think they've ever played it up as a race thing. I think a lot of people have said that it's a race thing in sort of like YouTube comments and online and stuff. But I don't think that this storyline has ever been about race. It's been about Kofi has been with this company for 11 years and has never been given this opportunity, despite the fact that he's been over for 11 years. But anyway, Kofi finally spoke up and defended himself. And he said, he sort of like put his hand up to Kofi, to Xavier and Big E. He was like, look, no one's getting fired because of me. Like, and I thought that was really nice. He was like, look, guys, I appreciate what you've done, but step back a second because you're arguing with the boss. And he,
Titus O'Neil got suspended indefinitely for just touching Vince.
And then he just had this great, great promo where he talked about how this is the job that he absolutely loves. And he loves traveling all over the world. He loves wrestling. He loves being able to do what he does. And then talked about how he's been away from his family. And he's like, I've never been trick-or-treating with my kids.
The crowd went crazy for that. They were like, oh my God, Kofi.
Exactly, yeah. And WWE love to do this sort of family man stuff of being like, it's so tough for these wrestlers being taken on the road. It's like, yeah, it's your fault. It's your fault they're on the road all the time.
I must say, though, I don't really care about that side of things. But the difference with Kofi, well, not that I don't care about it. I just think
heartless.
It's not something that usually works well in a promo. I like the wrestlers to feel bigger than life. It's like I don't like hearing monetary figures.
Contract statements. Yeah.
It takes me out of it.
Yeah.
But Kofi here just was so believable and genuine. Like, I never for once thought Kofi's acting. I believed everything he said.
It felt like this was a conversation that could have happened backstage behind closed doors that we've never seen. And it's also about, like, you know, how his son lost his tooth, lost his first tooth last week. And I didn't get to see the look on his face when he found the money under the pillow from the Tooth Fairy. It's all very, very nice stuff.
The Rock, Stephen Merchant movie, The Tooth Fairy.
Is that Stephen Merchant?
Yeah, he's in there. That's where they met.
I thought you meant like he directed it for a second. Is that why it's not funny?
Hey, it's not actually that bad. The Tooth Fairy is not bad.
Yeah.
And isn't that the aim? To make movies that aren't that bad?
I mean, that's what we aim with all of our content.
Yeah.
As long as our content is just, it's not bad.
That's what Batista goes out there. He's like, I hope I don't make a that good movie.
Anyway, this is a heck of a promo. Heck of a promo. And he had this line where he was just like, all I want you to do is to tell me what I need to do to get this title shot so I can go out and do it. And Vince then revealed what he's got to do. Because Randy Orton comes out. And I'm like, if I'm up in my seat, be like, why is Randy Orton coming out? He's very much involved with an AJ thing. Then Samoa Joe rises out. I was like, what? Why is Joe now out? And then the bar come out. And eventually Vince is like, you've got to beat all of these men next week in a gauntlet match. And I said this in my review. I want that match to take up all 2 hours next week.
Oh!
Having Kofi run it and do it like we were talking about with that TNA match where it's the opening match. We've got other things planned and announced, but we're going to have to cancel those because this match is going longer than we anticipated. And just run it being like, can he get to the final gauntlet before the 2 hours runs out?
That would be a great idea. I was surprised by how much how into this I was, this reveal that next week it's a gauntlet match. Because, you know, they just had a gauntlet match. The one where Kofi made, like, really got this resurgence of a push just a few weeks ago. And so if this was done wrong, it could just be like, oh, you're just repeating the thing. Okay. But I'm so into it. I genuinely cannot wait. And it is rare for me about WWE programming to... I'm on the edge of my seat waiting for this match to happen next week.
Do you know what I think elevates this? Because it could have been very easy for them to do, considering it was set up earlier in the night, to have had Rusev and Shinsuke Nakamura in that. I stumbled in my words a little bit there. Rusev and Shinsuke Nakamura along with the bar, and that's the four people with Rowan that they've got to get through. I think because it's Randy Orton and Samoa Joe, all of a sudden this feels like that's main event. Like that is a big time. That's a tough task to get through in order to beat Randy Orton and Samoa Joe and Rowan, who was pushed like an absolute beast in the other tag match on this show. The bar, you know, those will be the first two people that he beats, you know, quite convincingly, and that doesn't really matter. But that now you're like, that's a big task ahead of him. And that's great. And that really makes me excited to see the show, because I'm like, how are they going to book themselves around this? I'm super excited.
Well, I've got a few suggestions.
Ooh, please tell me.
I mean, so we've covered Randy's history with Kofi before. We've even alluded to it on this show, where Kofi and Randy were in a feud a decade ago, and Kofi was genuinely becoming over. This was like the first time he was breaking from that mid-card. He was pushing into that main event with this feud. He was so over. There was a moment in a Madison Square Garden show on Raw, I think, where he leapt off the turnbuckle, I believe, onto Randy through the announcer's desk after Randy had been working him over for weeks and getting the heat. And the crowd celebrated like Kofi was, like, Daniel Bryan levels of over.
Yeah.
This would have been a few years before Bryan, of course. But reportedly, Orton apparently then just says, nah, I don't want to work with this guy anymore.
You go back to the stupid moment where Orton was not having a lot of fun during a match with Kofi and just started shouting at him, stupid. And then that was it. And that killed Kofi's push.
Yeah.
Because Randy Orton has that level of sway. It's why Mr. Anderson stopped getting a push, because Randy had a match with Mr. Anderson where Kennedy at the time gave him a very high angle backdrop. Randy landed right on the shoulder of his neck and was like, "Don't not having this." And I remember at the time, Brian Alvarez and Vinny V doing a review of that show where Brian's like, "I've never seen Randy Orton want to get out of a match more." He was like, "Oh, well, let me work with someone else. I want to tag out of this."
It's Randy, not so much these days, but in that era, he was such a hothead where if stuff didn't go right in the ring, he would visibly flip out. Kind of like Shawn Michaels used to do in the mid-90s.
Yeah, act like a knob.
So having Randy in this match is such an element of poetic justice. If he's the last one in the gauntlet and it's Kofi that overcomes Randy, sure, you want to protect Randy, which is why I would have AJ come in and help.
Yes, and you've got to think somehow. Because I'm not massively keen on the fact that it's Joe, only because he's a United States champion, and I'm never the biggest fan of pinning champions in matches that aren't involving the title or setting up further things for the title. But I suppose you can then argue Rey can get involved in that if they are setting up a Joe versus Rey match for Mania. There's some Rey Mysterio involvement you could possibly do there as well.
Yeah, you don't want to have too many involvements.
Well, that's it. You don't want to do too many distractions, but then you also I don't think you want to pin Samoa Joe clean.
Yeah, like a really dramatic show, really really good cliffhanger. Like this is a clip. I love cliffhangers. That's what weekly wrestling TV shows should all be about. And I thought this was done fantastically. Now I've got to point out, this was mainly from Cage Side Seats. They brought up two points in their review. The first one was Kofi's theme of, how would you say, working to earn something meant even more on this show, because you had two segments where heels and one heel and one sort of heel babyface talked about how entitled they are, with Shane McMahon saying, "I was born the best in the world," for the McMahon dynasty, and Randy Orton with getting the place on SmackDown from his father and being the consummate WWE guy. So to have Kofi say after that, those segments earlier on, that worked really well.
Yeah, that's nice.
He actually earned it. And they also pointed out one other thing. So Vince made it explicit that we were all stupid, the fans were stupid, for thinking that Kofi was going to be added to the title match at Fastlane. He never said that. He just said it would be a
triple threat match. And you better get, and you need to go because that match is starting right now.
So that was our fault for getting excited. Now, the last line from Vince was, "All you need to do is beat these five men." He never said anything else.
Yeah, I suppose. But although the setup line for that was like, "What do I need to do in order to get the shot? Because I'll do it." And Vince said, "All you need to do is beat these five men." So, yeah, I suppose Vince never said the word, "If you beat these five men, you'll get the title shot." So do you think this is going to be something they're going to stretch out even further?
I'm telling you, man. Injury angles, suspensions, arrests.
Hopefully then Kofi can come out and cut a promo saying it's very silly, like Becky did on this show.
Yeah, I played mind games with you there, I think. But this was fantastic. This was so, so good. And I don't think Fastlane was the most effective way to keep the momentum going, but in the grander scheme of things, this is an excellent follow-up.
Yeah, no, I've got to agree. I said this in the review, but I can really do without the heel McMahon authority figure, like, you know, stopping the babyface from getting their title shot, because, good Lord, we've been doing this dance for 20 years, and it's always Vince, or it's Stephanie, or it's Triple H, or it's whoever. It's just, I'm very much sick to death of heel authority figures stopping babyfaces from getting title shots. However, I'm very much enjoying this storyline.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, let's do some Patreon shout-outs before we get out of here. Thank you, the Wrestling Marks of Central New Jersey.
Oh, woo! You're getting WrestleMania. Yeah.
I'm just whacking my leg here. It's nothing else.
I was going to say, it's nothing weird.
Look at the screen. Look at how that looks. I'm just slapping my leg, see?
Do you remember when we used to do the old the golf clap on the old Flickr Myth podcast? The Perfect Storm, Noah Trombley.
Whoa, yeah!
He's changed his name on Patreon, which you're allowed to do. Just send me a message.
There can only be one, our legend.
Oh, only one of them, and it's friend. Robert Spencer! Period.
Woo!
Oh,
yes.
Monty Brown.
Monty Brown reference. Michael Sands of Time.
Like Prince of Persia.
Prince of Persia one.
Bull Lift Club leader, Johnny Motter.
Woo! Yes. Yeah. John's Secret Santos.
Ooh, secrets. What secrets does he hold? Big Apple Takedown, Lindsay Monroe. Woo!
That is a very good nickname.
Yes,
close
there
to
it
our
is.
Hearts. We'll read it again eventually.
Yeah, we will.
Butter me up. Oh, is that like a... Build me up.
No, it's because...
Butter me up, Soren order.
It can be, but I was thinking of like Soreen, you know, like the loaf cake that you can get that you put butter on.
Butter me up, Soreen order.
So laboured. Sorry, if you want a better name, let me know, because I couldn't think of a better one. And finally, the Zodiac Zachary Marsh.
Woo!
Yes, 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 Zach. Dig, dig, diggity, dig, diggity dog.
Quaking. SmackDown opened with Shane McMahon coming out to explain his dastardly heel turn on his best friend, tag team partner, The Miz, a storyline all of 6 weeks.
And I think that was, I was trying to find the words to and how to word this in the review. So I couldn't really find the way to do it because writing things, I'm more better when I'm just sort of free flowing, freestyling things, if you will. When Shane came out and he had the Best in the World trophy, and he had Greg Hamilton like introduce him as the best in the world, and then he got him to do it again because he didn't do it with enough vigor, and then he made him do it a third time because he's like, you know, you got to really put some effort into this to announce me as the best in the world. And I thought to myself, God, this feels out of nowhere. Like, it doesn't really feel like... The whole storyline was that Shane was going to start believing that he really was the best in the world. That's why he had the big, long celebration at Crown Jewel. That's why he was bringing out the trophy and this, that, and the other. But it feels like that's not really been a part of the character since. Because no. He's been dealing with Miz, and he was doing this for his dad, and he wanted to win the tag team titles because that's the tag team titles he's always wanted to win. And then all of a sudden, he comes out this week, and he's like, and now I'm the best in the world again. It was a very weird thing. I quite like the character, and I like the whole thing that he did with Greg Hamilton. I thought it was a nice character beat for Shane in this heel role. But this does feel a bit out of nowhere.
Mm, yeah, definitely. It's one of those things where you can look, maybe scholars will look back on this angle in 50 years' time and go, wow, on paper, what a well-worked long-term storyline. You had it all set up in November at Crown Jewel, and you finally pay off, what is it, 5 months later?
Yep.
With the heel turn on Miz? But actually to live through it, those two beats are completely unconnected.
Yeah.
There was no subtle storytelling or context in those 5 months to build up the idea of the heel turn. The whole idea of Shane, the ego going to his head and becoming an egomaniac, that hasn't been developed or built upon.
No.
So it's bad storytelling to set something up. Sometimes it's good storytelling to set something up and then pay off on it. But you also have to keep that...
That's great storytelling. Yeah, that's... Setting up and pay off on it.
Yeah, that's actually very good storytelling.
Someone said it's classic storytelling.
It's the fundamentals of how the human race tells stories. But you have to keep the plate spinning.
Yeah.
You know, and it works in movies because they're 90 minutes long, works in TV series. This is 5 months of weekly TV, pay-per-views, all that stuff. Social media, if that's canon, I don't know. So I like Shane's promo here. I thought Shane's delivery was good. I thought overall, this might have been one of the best promo episodes of WWE in years.
I've got to agree. One of the things I get criticized for in SmackDown reviews a lot is I always complain if there's too much talking and not a lot of action. I actually think this show got the balance really, really well. Although the wrestling on the show wasn't like great and there's no matches on this show you should write home about, the promo work was so, so good. And it wasn't like too much of one and too much of the other. I thought they got the balance really, really well in this.
Yeah, Shane, Kofi, Vince,
Randy.
The rest of the New Day, Randy.
Oh, yeah. Mate, Randy. Orton, not Datsun.
Yeah. That is, that we're talking about how good a Randy Orton promo was.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah, he knocked it out of the park.
He really did.
Anyway, Shane came out. He got pretty decent heat.
Yeah, I'd say. You
Booze
suck,
and you suck.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love Greg Hamilton.
He's so good.
There's something about his face.
I also like the way he says certain names, like Kevin Owens. I really like,
and he syncs up AJ Styles.
Yeah,
AJ Styles with the way AJ does his taunt.
Yeah, he does it with Aleister Black now. I've noticed as well, of like Aleister Black.
You sound like Tim Curry in Home Alone 2. Yes. So yeah, Greg Hamilton is awesome.
Yeah. Huh?
And to see someone put their hands on him, oh, that was like, to me, that was like the first time Miss Elizabeth was beaten up.
Was this more effective to you than him putting his hands on Ms. Dad?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was.
What? Ms. Dad's got such a nice tash, though.
But Ms. Dad doesn't talk about breaking kayfabe and yeah. Rhonda.
Yeah.
Mrs. Dad just sits there and looking at his face, can see it's... He's thinking this is all. This yeah. isn't real.
He's sitting there waiting like, when's my spot?
Yeah.
When do I do my bit?
So, yeah, this was good. The trophy's out there, as you mentioned. It just feels like it's come out of nowhere, though. All you had to do was just have Shane always carrying around that trophy.
Yeah, and not letting Miz hold it. Or, like, if Miz was holding it, he would just pull it slightly closer towards him and just do lots of subtle beats. And I was thinking about this on the way in. Maybe the way this could have worked is that if a heel did win it at Crown Jewel, so they were already a heel, and then through their actions sort of became a bit of a baby face through like being associated with the Miz or what have you, and then you did the like go back to being the heel again and being like, no, I am the best in the world, I've already proved that I'm the best in the world by winning this trophy, maybe that would have worked
potentially, or just do what you were doing just a little bit better and keep the whole joint custody of the trophy storyline
yeah
going. Because they were, that was a thing in this program.
Mm-hmm. They were the co-besties.
Yeah, and they just dropped the whole bit of sharing custody of a trophy, which was quite funny, actually. But it hasn't been seen on TV for about 2 months.
Yeah, and this doesn't really feel like the same Shane that didn't want to team with the Miz. You remember they were going through that gimmick of things where like Miz was trying to get them to design tag team clothing for them to wear, which they never did because Shane always wears his own merch. Triple H got to get that merch money. Whereas Miz was like, no, I'm going to wear our T-shirt. Mm. So perhaps you could argue that there's some subtle storytelling in there as well, but I think more it's just Shane just wants to wrestle in his own gear. So I liked Shane's promo here. I thought Shane felt fresh and new again because he's got this heel persona, a heel McMahon, bloody lovely. I'm glad we got another one of those. I think there are some fundamental flaws in the storytelling that they've done.
Yeah. All the stuff leading up to it leaves a lot to be desired. But the promo here, Shane's performance was decent. I'm not going to say it was amazing. It's just decent for Shane McMahon.
I mean, he didn't lose any of his words.
Yeah.
He got them all out there.
But he said he's sick of people sucking up to him just to get ahead in the company, which, you know, kind of plays into the Miz dynamic. Miz wanted to be his friend and they did that.
Can you name another person that's done it, though?
No, exactly. Yeah. He's going to start doing stuff for him. He was born the best in the world.
Yeah.
Which I like that rich like kid that, angle yeah. to his character. Yeah, and then he says he'll face Miz at WrestleMania.
Yeah, it wasn't a challenge. He just said, no, I've already made this match. There aren't no heel authority figures, but he's made this match, and it's official for WrestleMania. Mm. And he said he's going to beat him up at WrestleMania. And I think he also called Miz Dad a baked potato.
Yeah.
It's quite accurate.
It's a good description of the man. Then we had the big 8-man tag that we've already talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got a great Usos promo, talking about a show of great promos. It's filmed in that backstage Usos style. Looks like a movie.
Yeah.
And they're standing on some stairs in just these industrial parts that they always seem to have in these arenas.
Yeah.
And they just, they say, we're the champions. Who's next?
Who's next? Yeah, they're looking for new challengers.
Really good. And then continuing the promo awesomeness, Randy Orton comes out and cuts a promo on AJ Styles after they've been having a bit of tension over the last few weeks. And Randy's had some killer lines in those promos too. And then they both got physical finally at Fastlane in an Elias segment of all places.
Uh-huh.
And he said, when AJ Styles was wrestling for $10 a night in 2002, I was, you know, making it in WWE. He said, getting a tan with Dixie Carter in 2005.
And tan is an anagram for TNA.
Oh, I didn't get that.
No, well, someone sent me a message saying it's TNA backwards, but that would be ant. Mm. But I think you can also say it's an anagram for TNA. But really, I think he was just saying because it was in Florida that you can go get a tan there.
Yeah, it was. That was so weird to hear Dixie Carter's name.
It's nice that she's canon though. EC3 might actually get a storyline or something now.
And Randy then had a really nice bit about saying, "Look, AJ Styles has been saying this is the house he built, but I've been here on SmackDown forever, like, you know, over 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
I built this house.
Yeah.
I'm the landlord and he's renting. I just, it was a really a great theme for this promo.
Yeah, he had a line later on in that promo where he said, like, this is the house I built, I'm the landlord, and the rent is due, you son of a bitch. Oh, well, now you know it's serious.
But yeah, I said the B word.
I thought it was really, really cool. As I said, like, I think that Randy here is the best he's been for a long, and I'm not going to say a long time, because that vicious character that he had during the Jeff Hardy feud last year that was just dropped out of nowhere, like an RKO. And it was just, and he just went back to being Randy Orton, which is why I thought he was a babyface again, because he wasn't doing anything character-wise.
He was a tweener here.
Yeah, I thought he was out and out a heel here. I thought he was
Really? Yeah.
I thought he was definitely a heel in this promo.
The way, I don't know, I've seen Randy promos as a heel, and it's slow delivery. He does it to get people to boo him. This was a fiery babyface promo.
I thought it was more heel, because it's kind of, perhaps it depends on your point of view, because if you are someone who is anti WWE and pro indies, you probably are going to think, well, Randy's the heel there because he represents WWE in this argument, and AJ Styles represents the independent circuit and working hard to get there. And Randy Orton is very much the, well, no, you were just handed all of this. Your dad was a wrestler here, so of course you got a job. You got famous off ripping off someone else's move, and which was already, you know, which was massively over in the 90s and things like that. So I think they were really positioning Randy as the heel here and AJ as the face.
I felt they both made valid points, and they were both, yeah, their delivery. I mean, Randy Orton's delivery, the content was fantastic. Orton's delivery was so good. But yeah, like you said, AJ comes out and says, Randy wouldn't have made it on the indies.
I love that line. It was like, if you were hanging out with us in the independent, you never would have made it.
Yeah, and he said, not with this. And then he slowly did the sort of Randy's arm raise thing,
pose, yeah.
which was a good thing, but when you think about it, AJ's just
a more jerkier version.
Yeah. So, and then he said, with a knockoff diamond cutter.
Yeah.
And the crowd were like, oh! Which was really good. Snap. And then
Randy was like, oh yeah, because people in the independent circuit don't rip off anything. What's it you and your buddies do? And did the Too Sweet, which is ripped off from the Click. It's a DX NWO thing.
I mean, yeah, legally, WWE,
they own that
yeah. hand gesture. They don't.
Well, they do. They trademarked it.
It wouldn't hold up in court.
Is this like the Carlton dance thing?
Yeah.
Doesn't really hold up in court.
It wouldn't hold up in court from what experts have written. But you're sort of priced out of combating it because of WWE's massive legal department.
So what you're saying there is the WWE won that legal argument.
Yeah, with money.
Yeah, by default.
But then, Orton got the job from his dad. This was such a good promo exchange. Mm-hmm. Like, both guys got line. It wasn't, I'm going to speak for three uninterrupted minutes.
Oh, we get that later.
Now you speak for three uninterrupted minutes. It felt, this was great.
Yeah,
this
I thought it was really good.
Home run segment.
And it's, you and I have discussed this on the show as well. Like, this storyline has been done to death in WWE of like the established WWE guy versus the guy from the indies, and you get your bingo hall lines in and you're working for $10 and it took you 15 years to get here whereas I just walked through the door. Like, we've seen this promo done 1,000 times in this company over the last 10 or so years. I'd say this was probably the best version of it, and it really didn't feel like it had been done over and over and over again. And because the WWE versus indie thing is it's a storyline they've done many times. This felt like it was a first time doing it. I thought both guys did really, really well. It's the most interesting AJ has been. Like, talking to Randy Orton, saying, like, because Randy Orton's just been doing nothing for the last, you know, since the Jeff feud and his character was dropped. AJ had a boring 2018 rather. Aside from some of the Joe feud, which itself got very muddled because they couldn't decide which direction to take that storyline. He had quite a boring 2018. He was quite a boring WWE champion.
Oh yeah. Definitely.
But here, he was so interesting. Mm. I thought AJ was wonderful.
Yeah, and for a feud that I think we were both saying, well, it'll be a really good match because we've seen what they can do with a few encounters early last year, but it doesn't have a story. This changed all of that. I'm now looking forward to the story, the build, and the eventual match between them both. Like, it's shot up there in my most anticipated Mania matches.
I was thinking about this on the way in, though. Like, when you're setting up the matches we've got for Mania at the moment, where you've got Triple H and Batista, you've got AJ and Randy, and you've got Miz and Shane. That's three matches on the card there that are not for titles. And this is a company that is like drowning in titles. There are going to be a lot of belts not defended on that show, or belts in very big multi-man matches.
I saw a sort of rumor that it was going to be a 17-match card.
What? 17 matches. Man, I mean, I suppose it kind of has to be with the amount of belts they've got and the amount of talent that they've got, but so over 7 hours. This is 8 hours.
Well, we'll find out. We love wrestling. We love to be just smothered by it.
Do you know what I love?
Suffocate in wrestling.
Do you know what I love with wrestling shows?
Death by schnoosh.
Loads of them. More matches. More matches sometimes just makes a better card.
Yeah, anything I really, really like, I just like it to be done to death. That's how much I love it.
You know what did that?
Oh, you say you love wrestling, but you can't sit through an 8-hour card.
No! No! I can't sit through a New Japan 8-hour card.
It's so long. Remember when we did Survivor Series 98 for the Patreon podcast? And that has got like, I think that's got some ridiculous like 14 matches on the card. But a lot of those matches go a minute or 30 seconds. And it's not like that is a show where you go back and you're like, wall to wall, that was just great action nonstop. No, you go like, probably could have shaved off a lot of those matches though, couldn't you? Like, cut off the first round and just start in the second round of the tournament and given the matches more time.
You want the angles. You wouldn't get Rock just catching the
oh, baton. The nightstick. Yes, mate. It's the best bit of the show.
After that, we got the Iconics in a little backstage promo thing. Good promo. They're great promos. They're very funny. They just haven't been pushed. And they called out...
You've skipped
out
a match, by the way.
No. Yeah. Yeah, I have.
We'll finish up the Iconics, but then we'll go back because you did skip a bit.
So they called out Bayley and Banks because they haven't been on SmackDown to defend those tag titles yet.
Which is true. Mm. Like, the Iconics have got a very, very good point here, which is just, hey, you said you're going to defend these belts across all three brands. You've not shown up here. And they've been on NXT. They've been on NXT and said they're going to defend the belts. Oh, the blue brand not good enough for you, Bayley and Banks.
Well, we'll see.
So either they're going to show up next week, but if they're going to do... fantasy booking of it being a 2-hour gauntlet match, then I guess it'll be the week after. But then at that point, you're like 1 week out from WrestleMania to set up a match.
Stranger things have happened,
I guess.
So Asuka took on Sonya Deville with so much momentum. This is problematic because Asuka is now getting matches and she's being featured on SmackDown. But make no mistake, this is not to feature Asuka. The story here is Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose breaking up.
Yeah. This was very much... She was a backdrop to a storyline they are much more interested in. Asuka is... Like, she is a... rudderless. Like, she has got no direction whatsoever. It's going to be Lacey Evans. It has to be, right? Like, it's about the only person that she could possibly face at WrestleMania.
I think, you know, screw it. Let's just have Asuka. She had one of the longest... winning streaks in WWE history. Let's put her on a WrestleMania losing streak. And every year you could be like, will she win this one? And she'll lose to Lacey Evans at Mania.
It's so funny because I was like, it's going to be Lacey Evans, right? It's like the only person that she could face. And then I was going through WWE's Twitter feed while I was grabbing images. There's Nikki Cross on the main roster now, which I keep forgetting about because she hasn't been featured since she lost to Ruby Riott before Elimination Chamber. She's just been missing. Like, she just isn't anywhere on any of these shows.
Yeah.
Also, Byron Saxton said that Asuka is now 2-0 against Fire and Desire. I'm like, Mandy Rose beat her 2 weeks ago. That's what set up the pay-per-view match. Have we just forgotten this now?
Yeah. Maybe 2-0... in the last two weeks?
In the last 3 days, she is 2-0 against them.
Yeah, it's terrible. But I got suckered in. I thought, Asuka and Sonya Deville. We're big fans of Sonya Deville.
I was genuinely really thrilled for this. I was like, I wish this was on pay-per-view, but man, this could be great.
And they started wrestling, and it was good.
Yeah, really good.
And Sonya did a wicked spear.
Yeah,
and
there was spear is awesome.
And there was a few strike exchanges. I'm like, okay, yeah. And then 4 minutes in... they replayed that apron trip spot, but this time it was Mandy Rose who did it to Sonya. And yeah, Sonya tripped into the Asuka lock, taps, and Deville and Rose sort of have a tiff and walk off.
Yep, I can't wait to see that payoff in the WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal.
Yeah. Then we got the Becky Lynch promo.
Yeah. It's kind of sad, really. It's just sad to see how much momentum she's lost.
Mm. So Becky comes out. She throws away the crutch. And she's still hobbling, but now it's hobbling unaided. I don't really know how that works because Charlotte did beat her up for 7 minutes.
Exactly, yeah. Like, that was then just... So the match answered, I guess it was fake. I guess Ronda Rousey was right. It's not real at all.
They do a recap video of the Farsane angle and Ronda's Raw segment. And then Becky just kind of recapped how ridiculous this feud's been so far.
She proper made fun of how crap this story has been.
There's been suspensions. There's been arrests. Charlotte was shoehorned. She even said shoehorned in.
She was like, and then I was suspended again. Like, it was a really... She got the microphone and was like, this storyline is dumb. And I've been told to recap this storyline. I'm going to make it sound as dumb as it possibly... As dumb as it was. And she succeeded because it made it all seem very, very silly.
Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting when they were recapping the Ronda promo from Raw that they cut out all the stuff where she said, like, con women and this is fake and it's scripted. And they cut around all of that stuff and just focused on it as if it was a normal wrestling promo in that I'm going to destroy them at WrestleMania.
Mm. Yeah. Maybe it's because Ronda exists outside. That, like, if Becky says it's fake, that's not going to get picked up by mainstream media. Mm-hmm. But when Ronda says it, it might do.
And
then people might go, huh, maybe Ronda is going to beat someone up for real life.
That's what they're hoping for, I guess.
Yeah. Becky had a really good line where she said she claimed that she'd played Ronda like a fiddle and she'd got in her head so much that, well, on social media and all the promos, that Ronda came out and clocked Becky in the mouth. And it was all part of Becky's master plan to get into Mania. I don't believe that story.
No.
I felt Becky sounded silly and deluded for thinking that. But she did have a good line, which is, do you know how hard it is to play mind games with someone who doesn't have a brain?
That was a good line, yeah. Mm. Called Ronnie a little weirdo.
Yeah, that was funny. I mean, Becky was good, but...
It was sad to see. Like, this was a woman who just... 2 months ago was the most over person in this entire company. Some might even argue this entire industry. And she was getting thunderous reactions. And now she's coming out to the reaction she would have got this time last year when people were just happy to see Becky. She doesn't feel like the Becky that everyone was massively into back in January. And that's a real, real shame.
They've made significant missteps in booking this feud. Charlotte came out to say that she's been carrying the division for years.
Yeah, we've heard this promo many, many times.
Yeah, Becky's only just shown up. Yeah, you're exactly right. It's stuff they've said before. And now they're in... But Becky had a kind of nice line. Yeah, but I showed up and now we're in the main event.
Yeah, she was like, you've been carrying this division for 4 years, but I showed up and 6 months later, we're in the main event of WrestleMania. Yeah. So, you know, you're welcome. Yeah.
Then we got Vince backstage. I think it was Kayla Braxton standing outside waiting for an interview. And Brian walks out with Rowan. And she's like, what were you talking about? And he said, Kofi Kingston. And there's a tag team match booked later.
Yeah.
But before that tag match, we got another tag match.
Yeah, card subject to change.
Yeah.
So this was announced, it was supposed to be Samoa Joe versus R-Truth for the US title. And then it got changed, I guess, on the night to be a tag match. But you know, plans don't change. This thing it's something that doesn't happen in this company, I'm told.
That US title feud is particularly subject to change. Because it changed at Farsane as well.
Yeah. On that, just going back to that Vince segment, because we didn't talk about this in the opening of the show either. Do you think it's weird that Vince and Brian are sort of aligned?
Makes no sense.
Yeah, because you're like,
it's weird that Owens and Ali are also kind of aligned.
Yeah, because I'm like, there was the last shot of the show. One of the last shots of the show is like Brian and Vince looking a bit worried of the New Day. And I'm like, why are they working together? Why does Vince want Brian to be the champion? Like, I kind of get why he doesn't want Kofi being champion because he's a B-plus player. But why does he want Brian being champion?
Maybe he's finally gotten on board with eco values.
Vince McMahon.
No more steaks.
Could be.
Just tofu.
Yeah.
Bad tofu.
There's no such thing. Tofu is delicious.
Yeah. Texture wise, I don't agree.
You got to cook it right, mate. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm. You could say.
Roasting tofu, mate. I'm going to make you a dish. I'm going to come around to your house. I'm going to make you a delicious dish.
What a threat. It makes no sense. You're right. It makes no sense.
Yeah. But anyway, so this tag match was short. It's these four lads. We've seen these four lads now in the ring for last week and I think the week prior as well. And it was fun. There were some fun spots in there, and it ended with Ray pinning Samoa Joe, which you would assume would suggest they're going to do Ray versus Joe at WrestleMania.
Yeah,
such Joe, for Andrade.
Joe sold this amazingly.
Oh, he was pissed. Yeah, off.
Like because it was a surprise roll up on Joe. And Ray runs out there right away as soon as he's picked up the victory. And Joe looked furious. So furious that he not only beat up Truth, he beat up his tag partner Andrade as well. He looked vicious.
Yeah.
And it didn't just put over Ray. It also put over Joe more that he cares so much about losing and how much of an upset that was.
Yeah.
Like, that felt like a bigger deal because of the way Joe reacted.
I completely agree. But that's what worries me for next week in the Gauntlet match, because he's going to have to lose again.
Mm. Well, you say that, but they protected him really, really well in the first Gauntlet match.
Yeah. Joe got counted out. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. He got the Kikina. Was it counted out or was the Kikina clutch reversed and his shoulders were on the...
Oh, was that the one? Yeah, they did the Bret Hart.
Yeah, you could do either.
Thing. Yeah.
But there are ways to protect people from losing in Gauntlet matches.
Yeah, I hope they go that direction, actually. Yeah, I'll take that back then. But yeah, this was... Ray versus Joe at WrestleMania, that is a match that I think would be awesome. I think it'd be really cool. And just kind of, I'm gutted for Andrade, really, because it really felt like we're never going to get this Andrade-Ray Mysterio pay-per-view match.
It's going to be a multi-man match. I don't know why you think this is...
setting up just one-on-one.
Yeah.
But it's because... the reason why I thought it might be a one-on-one thing is because afterwards Joe beat up the other two challengers and laid them out with just Rey Mysterio left. So you kind of eliminated the other two from the equation, no?
They're going to have words next week.
And you think they're just going to set up... just do the four-way again at Mania?
Yes, I do. I think we're going to get these four guys every week up until WrestleMania... to have another match at WrestleMania.
Joy. I mean, to be honest... I like watching them all wrestle, so I'm all for that, mate.
Mm. But maybe in a ladder match. Maybe there's
Stop saying it's going to be a ladder match, because you know it won't be.
That's how you freshen it up for Mania. You make a stipulation. And finally, we got... because the Kofi Kingston segment was the main event, we got Kevin Owens and Mustafa Ali taking on Daniel Bryan and Rowan.
So I thought this was done for two reasons. Number one, it was to write Owens and Ali at the WWE Championship picture for the time being, because we're focusing on doing a one-on-one match between Bryan and Kofi. Yes, please. That's exactly what we all wanted to see. And number two, put over that Rowan is unstoppable and the Iron Claw is devastating and will absolutely break your back and destroy you, which then paid off when he was revealed as the possibly last person that Kofi's going to have to beat in order to get to Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania.
Yeah. So Ali was worked over for the majority, and it was Rowan who took out Kevin Owens and then blind tagged himself in Iron Claw. Victory.
Yeah.
It wasn't really a match.
It was there to put over Rowan so that you could set him up for the main event segment.
And that's great. Like, all on paper, fantastic. Rowan's not the guy.
But he is, though. He's big.
I mean, why can't Luke Harper be this guy?
I know you wanted to be Luke Harper, but clearly that's not the direction. We all thought that's the direction they're going to go, but I guess not.
It's like, they're doing everything right. I see what they're doing. But I fundamentally disagree with the charisma of the main person.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, tick for doing those things. Hopefully it pays off with the Kofi Gauntlet match next week.
And hopefully
people
so.
Actually care. Because that Gauntlet match, when Rowan comes out, that's the sound that the arena's going to make.
It's the Tamina reaction.
It's all the heat is going to go, because you can build him up as much as you want. It doesn't... there's nothing there, unfortunately.
Yeah, he didn't get that reaction at Royal Rumble, and I don't think he's had that reaction since. He gets a reaction because he's with Bryan, but I don't know if Rowan's getting that reaction on his own.
Mm. I'll clear that up for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for doing that. Yeah, I don't think he's not over to the degree where he feels like the unstoppable monster that you've got to get through. But, you know, if they'd built this up a little bit more, maybe he would have done. Or if it had been Luke Harper.
Yeah, I think it's... unfortunately, it's Rowan who's the problem here. I don't think he has the chops and the presence.
And Nick Harper returned at a house show recently Rochester. So
what did you give it overall?
I gave it a smacktastic. I really enjoyed this show.
Totally agree.
All it needed was, like, if this had like a big killer match on it, I think I probably would have given it a smackdown because, or a very high smacktastic, because I loved all the promo work on this. I never thought I'd be saying this in 2019. I thought Randy Orton was one of the best things on the show. Him and AJ's segment was absolutely awesome. I thought Kofi was brilliant. I thought New Day as an act were brilliant. And I like Shane's promo as well. I thought it was a lot of really, really good stuff on here. I'm just so gutted for Asuka just going nowhere. Like, they gave her the belt because they needed to get it off Becky, but had no plan of where to go after that. And that sucks.
It's a really, yeah, really, really good show. But even better than that, for next week, I'm so excited for next week's episode.
So excited, man.
And I don't want to raise my expectations too much, but I'm thinking that could be a 5 out of 5 show.
It very well could be, because that gauntlet match, I've mentioned this on podcasts and before, but I've got like a Word document with my favorite matches of the year. That gauntlet match previously, that's in my top 10 matches of the year so far. Loved it. Reese has emailed in to say, good afternoon, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, and not Dandy Ratson. Listening in, I thought I'd throw my hat to the ring with naming a certain subsection of the fans you've chosen to outsource this. Firstly, as an Andy fan, I can only assume that, and I can only be one, two at a push, maybe it's easy to just call them by their names.
I like that.
He says, I personally assume they're also called Andy.
Yeah, the Andy Datsun fans will now be called those three people.
And he actually did email in a suggestion for the Ramble Discord users, which is Ramble Swarm. We are vast, we never seem to stop, and the second something big happens, we all seem to descend upon it in a moment's notice. Always thanks for the super consistent content. Looking forward to Screen Stalker, All Hail Fakador, etc. Kind regards,
hey, please. Hey, stop that chat here. I still don't think we found the name.
Mm-hmm. Well, for Randy. For the Discord.
The Discord. Nothing's popped.
Assange emails in, hello Luke and hello Ollie and or Laurie, but certainly not hello Andy Datsun, whose life might be worsened with this email. I thought I'd chime in on the debate. What the three misguided people seem to have been taking a liking to that horny goblin with his siren's voice, which should be called. My personal suggestion would be Fandies, but since everyone else seems to be doing it with the last podcast, and since his name seems to be interchangeable as WWE Midcard Champions, I thought of a few nicknames for poor old Randall Keith Datsun. Some clever, some witty, some funny, others not so much. Anyway, here we go. Mahatma Gandhi Datsun. A Cheeky Nandies. My Mandy Datsun. Handyman Datsun. Tarzan and Jandy. The Outlandish Datsun.
That's the best one so far, but that's damning with faint praise.
Pandy Dropper Datsun. Mandy Ratson. Sandy Beach Datsun, Sweet Candy Datsun, and finally, Dandy Ratson.
I like Sweet Candy Datsun.
Sweet Candy Datsun's good. That's like a wrestling name. Yeah. Sweet Candy Datsun.
I mean, that did seem like you went into crap gimmick mode with a few of those. Particularly the Tarzan and Jane one. That's that's rubbish.
Yeah, that is. And Sandy Beach, that's not great. I like this as well. It's like, also, if you've noticed, if you swap the first vocals of Laurie Blake's first and last name, you get a name that sounds a lot less cool, namely Larry Bloke.
Larry Bloke.
If he doesn't find it funny, don't tell him where it came from. I don't want to be assimilated.
Hey, you're right, Larry Bloke. How's it doing?
Larry Bloke.
Oh, it's just next to, I don't know, what's it? Steve... Mate.
Larry Bloke goes to Screwfix a lot.
Yeah, Larry Tool Station, Larry Bloke. All right, it's Mr. Bloke here. Mr. Bloke needs a couple of Phillips screws and dongle's too technical. Strictly hardware.
I want some MDF.
MDF, 12 by 4.
12 by 4 bits of MDF, thank you very much.
A drill.
Yep, and a shed.
A whole shed.
One shed,
please. I want two sheds. I want one that's fully built, and I want it delivered to me in a van.
And it has to be white. I'm not having any of those multicolored ones with logos on it or anything.
And I want one that's flat pack that I can build, and then I'm going to tear down just so I can compare it to the proper shed. I'm going to tear down the proper shed once I've made the new shed, and I'm going to build a bureau.
Also,
with the old shed.
When you do give me the flat pack shed, take out the instructions. Don't need them. I'll figure it out on my own.
Well, I don't need it because I've got a fully formed shed.
That I'm just going to follow up.
I'm just going to compare it to, because I've got a good eye, tool station.
I think I've, I certainly told you this, I don't think it's been on the podcast though, of what I'm doing for my friend Stag Do next Saturday. I'm building a shed. I'm going over to his house and I'm going to build a shed in his garden, and I am bloody excited because I got to send him in a text message, do you want me to bring my toolbox? Oh, it was, I felt like such a man.
So he knows that's the plan.
Yeah.
It's not like a surprise where he's like, oh, I wonder, yeah, don't pack, mate. Don't pack. And then you turn up on the day, yeah, it's because we're staying at yours all weekend and we're building a shed.
We're building a shed, mate. No, it was his idea. Really more it feels like he needs to build a shed and he needs some helping hands. So it just makes sense for us to go around and give him a helping hand.
Stop saying it makes sense. Very few of the things that you claim to make sense make sense.
I'm genuine. I mean, I like hanging out with them anyway because they're like some of my best friends. But I'm really excited to build a shed with them.
Best friends.
Although, unfortunately,
can build a shed.
You're right there.
Shed friends.
Shed friends. Unfortunately, my drill is corded, and therefore it might not be any use. So I've got a cordless drill.
Daisy chains. All the way out.
All the way out.
Extension cables.
Out the window from the upstairs.
Get on Amazon now. Start priming them.
Tony has emailed in. We'll get out of here for a quick 80% fact. When I was a child, a friend of mine told me that every time you sneeze, your heart stops momentarily.
Yeah, I mean, that it could be true. It could be like a really tiny fraction. I don't know why it would. I don't know what possible. I feel like evolution would have ironed out that kink.
We've also,
but I've still got an appendix.
We've still now had three sneeze-based facts, like the one if you sneeze too many times you'll die, and I added in the one that if you it's 1/10 of an orgasm. So like if you sneeze 10 times in a row, you have an orgasm. Tony, just on that, also adds in, P.S. That Swedish accent that Ollie did a few weeks ago was rawful. Why does every English-speaking country think that we sound anything like the Germans? Every impression of Swedish I've heard sounds more German-like.
Yeah, I've got no answer for you. But I do have another sneeze.
I like how you just...
Yeah. What about sidestep that? If you keep your eyes open when
your
you
eyes
sneeze.
Fall out.
Your eyes fall out.
We did, me and Laurie talked about that one in the NXT podcast, because my mum says, like, I try and keep my eyes open when I'm sneezing. And then we had a discussion about, your eyes are only closed for like a microsecond. But yeah, your eyes will fall out if you keep them open. But yeah, can you try the Swedish accent again for us one more time?
Swedish accent?
That does sound German.
Do you think it sounds German?
No, you're just doing a German.
No, I'm not. I'm doing a Swedish accent.
Oh, dear me.
Wait, look, it's Becky Lynch.
My brother used to date she was Ukrainian and Russian. I think her dad was Russian and her mum was Ukrainian. But she was born in Norway and raised in Sweden. She kind of considered herself Swedish. And I did learn that from the Swede, not much of a sense of humour, because they don't think the Swedish chef is funny. And they find it quite offensive.
They find what?
Swedish chef.
Oh, yeah, from the Muppets.
Yes, because I was told not to make Swedish chef jokes because she was a chef. And I was like, come on, man.
Is it offensive or is it just boring? Because the same joke must have been made to her loads of times.
I'd imagine, and I can totally get on board with that. With that said, it is a funny voice, though. Mm. And the Swedish chef is a very funny character.
It's okay because Swedish are kind of like they're very first world. However, if you were to do that with other countries... It feels really bad.
You wouldn't do that with like a Japanese stereotype. You'd be the Japanese chef and do something very similar. Yeah. Also, do you know what my favorite thing about Sweden is? Apart from the fact that it is a wonderfully progressive country and it is just a beautiful, beautiful country full of lots of beautiful people. It is that they only have one game show on TV and it's their version of 15 to 1 and it's just called Who Knows the Most. It's straight. It's to the point.
Yeah.
There is no messing around with that title.
Who knows the most?
I've got an 80% fact on Sweden that's just popped into my head.
Hit me.
You have to have the equivalent of a £50 note on you at all times.
Really?
Yeah, I swear I've heard that because it's so expensive. And it's actually illegal.
I don't think that's true. No, I don't think that's true at all. I'll text my brother and ask him. He did live there for a while. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with the NXT review, where card is not subject to change because it's already taped and they can't change things. And then we'll be back on Saturday with the magazine show. Thank you so much for listening. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.